Welcome to Dodgers Daily. Casey Porter here. So glad that you decided to tune in. Joined by Coach Holt. And Coach, it was a great game last night. It was an offensive explosion. And I talk about this quite a bit. And looking at this Dodgers team, we know this roster for the Dodgers, it's going to have quite a few games like last night where it's going to explode. But what's really exciting about the last two nights in the series so far with San Francisco is you've won both what I call the floor game, meaning the game that, hey, not everything went perfect. You weren't just unbelievably great on offense. So you won that game, and then you also won the game that's the ceiling game where you played offense just about as good as you can. So you've won two different types of games in the last 2 days.
No, that's great. That's what this ball club's capable of doing, because as we know, that they've been successful even with all the injuries in the bullpen. The people have stepped up. The bullpen's been pretty good, actually, with all the injuries. But that's a sign of a great ball club, which we all feel like the Dodgers are. Same way with the pitcher. When he doesn't have his best stuff, he's still capable of winning. So that's what this Dodger team's capable of doing. They've proven over and over, and that's a sign that's a great sign, because you'd love to go out and expect to score 8 or 9 runs a night, and they get that capability, but it's not going to happen. We all know that's major league pitching. It's not going to happen in nights when you don't have great offensive night. But it goes back to the same thing. The pitching was good enough to give that opportunity. You know, you wouldn't have done that if the pitching, the bullpen, the pitching, because Yamamoto didn't go deep into the game. The bullpen held up. So that's a great sign both the last two nights. And, of course, last night's game, he just spanked them, you know, from the outset with Mookie's leadoff home run, and just kept pouring it on.
Absolutely did. Shohei Ohtani came up a triple shy of the cycle. We'll get into some of how great the offense was here in a minute, but let's talk about Gavin Stone. Coach, we mentioned Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mentioned in yesterday's show it was just kind of a grinder for him. Gave him 5 2/3 innings. Gavin Stone went that magical at least 6 innings route for the Dodgers. And what that does is, Coach, the Dodgers love to give their starting pitchers rest in any way they can, whether that is bring up a guy on the up-down train and then use a bullpen game, whatever, a piggyback game, we've seen that, whatever that may be. So we've mentioned a couple of different times when the Dodgers pitchers can go at least 6 innings, first of all, they win almost every time. Then second of all, whenever they feel the need to, they can throw that bullpen game out there. Ryan Yarbrough can throw 3 or 4 innings. So you talk about this all the time. It's more than just a pitcher going out there and winning one game. Today's game affects tomorrow's game, which affects all of the games down the line, which eventually affect the playoffs, because now you get to keep everybody rested. Yep. So the starting pitchers going deep into games like they have has just been a huge deal.
That's perfect for you on any level of baseball when you're able to stay out of the bullpen. You know, I mean, your starters are giving you those what they're supposed to do. I mean, let's face it, starters are going to throw, like as you say, Case, maybe 5 or 6 days. We used to always say every 4 days I need you to do this, but you know, every 5 or 6 days your starters are getting their rest and getting in there. You need them. You know, I mean, you don't want a guy getting 6 days rest and give you 3. I mean, that kind of defeats the whole purpose. But the great thing about Gavin Stone, we're seeing what Casey and I have talked about, and this isn't, you know, brain surgery. Everybody kind of gets it. You're seeing Gavin Stone grow up right before our very eyes. You know, he came up last year up and down. We talked about the last time here on the show, the audition. You know, Gavin Stone had his audition last year. You know, he had some rough spots. And you, like I said, you're familiar with the guy more than I am. I did see him pitch in Oklahoma City last year. But we're seeing him – you know, what everybody does. You come up, you know, you have a rough stretch, you go back to Oklahoma City, you get your thing going, you come back, you know, he had a good spring, and we're seeing this guy become an outstanding major league pitcher. And it's really no surprise to us. You know, we expect this out of the other guys, all the guys who had to come up last year when the Dodgers had all the injuries, and they weren't just auditioning, they were trying to save our bacon, which they did. So, you know, I think it's great to see Stone doing what he's doing, and again, it's nice to know when you go out to take the mound that you got the offensive lineup you got over there. I don't have to be perfect. Just kind of keep us in the game and let these guys do their thing.
No kidding, Coach. And the Dodgers have created, and this is all the way up and down throughout their system, they do a great job of this. We see this all the time. The Dodgers do a wonderful job of creating individual competitions within a big-time team element. I mean, there is no better team element in culture than what the Dodgers create. But then they also create some pretty vicious individual competitions, because you say the word audition, it just feels like there's still three or four positions that are still auditioning, right? So there is definitely some serious individual competition within a big-time team structure going on. And that's like the healthiest environment you can have for a team.
Oh, yeah. Competition breeds excellence, breeds competition. These guys are, as we always say, Case, the minor leagues, those guys are man, it's all man, oh, everybody for yourself.
It is.
If you want to get right down to it, I'm trying to get to the big leagues. I'll do whatever I got to do to get there. And you do whatever you got to do to get there. But
yeah,
that's great competition. Like you said, these guys are that are, you know, shining in our bullpen right now. You know, I don't want to use the word audition, but it's kind of what it is. When we get the other guys start coming back, now what do you do? You know,
yeah,
you're going to have to make some moves. You're going to send somebody down, or you're going to carry an extra man. And at least you know what you got there. If you unfortunately get another injury, the Dodgers are seeing what they have. And it looks pretty stinking good. And that was a big concern. You know, pitching is always a big concern. But those guys have proven that they're very more than capable. And when we get the other guys back, you know, that's a good problem to have for Dave Roberts and the organization to try to piece together what you can do. But the great thing is those guys that are coming up, they're getting their audition, quote unquote, they're coming through, and that's a great sign.
They are. J.P. Fireisen, Nabil Chrismat, I promise you those guys are fighting for their major league lives, right? Those guys don't – hey, I love Oklahoma City. It's a wonderful ballpark. It's a great atmosphere. The people at Oklahoma City do a great job. It feels big league, but it's not.
It's not.
So, I mean, it's just absolutely not. So, hey, Gavin Stone, he was simply fantastic, Coach. Big league pitcher last night threw the exact same amount of four-seam fastballs as he did sinkers. Now, that sinker, two-seam, whatever you want to call it, it's like, you know, when you face those lefties and that ball tails away from you as a right-hander, right? And then you never get it on the barrel. That's exactly what a two-seam sinker does for a right-hander. It gives that tail to the arm side, coming in on the hands of a right-hander and just jamming guys all night long. We saw the Giants. They couldn't handle that late life and that late just, you know, kind of, we used to call it like a, you know, those, we used to call it a slider. They call it a bullet. They call it kind of a cutter now, where it doesn't like have much depth or anything, and it doesn't like have a whole lot of ton of movement, but it has a lot of a late break to it, and it breaks like 6 to 8 inches. But it's late, and it comes right in on your hands. So Gavin Stone, that sinker he's throwing right now, is big time. He threw the same amount of four seams, which, you know, you could ride the top of the zone with that, let that one loose. And his four-seam, Coach, he threw for a strike 75% of the time. So when you can, you know, the old school way of saying it's your straight fastball, right?
Yep.
Straight fastball, four-seam, whatever. When you throw your straight fastball for a strike 75% of the time, you can have a hell of a lot of fun with all your other stuff, can't you?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we all know that 75% of the time, that's not going right down the middle of the plate. He's spotting up that fastball. And when you can do that, it's like everything now can play with everything else, you know. And his cutter, of course, it's a cutter now, the sweeper, whatever you want to call it, Case. Like I said, me and you back in the old days, well, you were a player. You weren't old as me. But
yeah.
You know, the old slider, the old Smalley slider
that
pitchers and, you know, Jeff Ventress, you know, threw and everybody's taught, you know, yeah. We still got some guys throwing it here in Stillwater, but everybody's got a different name with it. All it is we're changing plane enough and spotted up and changing the plane enough that the hitters aren't getting comfortable. Even though I've been around a long time, you go see and you're like, how does anybody ever get a hit off that guy? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm 1 year ago to Oklahoma City watching play Sacramento. One of my former players was with the Giants. I think everybody, the Oklahoma City ran out of the bullpen was 100 miles an hour,
seemed like.
I probably don't remember the names, or probably some of them in the big leagues, either with us or somewhere else. And that's why it's so amazing. That's why I love this game so much. There is such a fine line between getting your tail sent back to Oklahoma City and staying in the big leagues. And it's just amazing to me, the guys that can hit that stuff on a consistent basis.
Yeah, it's a fun competition to watch. Yeah. The Dodgers now, they move to 29-15. They are 7.5 games over the Padres. 8.5 games over the D-backs with a big win last night. And, Coach, offensively, I'm going to look to my left here.
Okay.
10 runs, 13 hits, 7 players had a hit. Max Muncy, Andy Páez were the only two players not to get on base, but yet Max Muncy had a sacrifice fly. So this was an offense also that scored in 4 of the last 6 innings. It also had the big 4-run inning, 4 doubles, 3 triples, a home run, and Ohtani was a triple shy of the cycle. This offense from time to time does things that no other roster can do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, I know the last time we were on here together, Case, you know, we were I call it Monday morning quarterback, even though it was Sunday. You know, I was whining about losing 2 out of 3 to the Padres. Mm-hmm, sure. It's the only 2 games the Dodgers have lost in the last 10. Yeah. You know, they're 8-2 in the last 10. And, you know, but the offense is, like you said right there, those numbers are outstanding. And they're capable of doing that every night. You know, there's not very – they're the only team in the big – well, yeah, the Braves got a pretty good line. There are some other good lineups out there too, but – there's nobody runs a top 3 or 4 hitters out there like the Dodgers can. And not only that, you know, all the way through number, you know, 6-hole, you know, are hitters. And if the bottom of the order ever starts, you know, getting to where we think they ought to be, it's going to be amazing to watch what these guys can do.
Yeah, and by the way, Gavin Lux is starting to do that. He is actually starting to hit the ball kind of hard. He has, you know, we talked about 2 nights ago, he had the good game. Last night he had another hit. Matter of fact, you talk about the bottom lineup, Coach. Gavin Lux, James Altman produced 2 hits last night. They were on base 3 times. They had an RBI combined between the two and a run scored. Now, that's not like, oh, my God, did you watch that? That's not like unbelievably incredible, right? I mean, but that's, you know, you don't – whenever you have 3 Hall of Famers to start your lineup with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, all 3 of those guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Then you have guys like Will Smith, Max Muncy, Tio Hernandez – that, of course, Will Smith's just an awesome hitter. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Yep. And then Tio Hernandez and Max Muncy are just, in, you know, they're almost like identical to each other. One right-handed, one left-handed, it's like perfect. They're professional run producers, right? So when you have a lineup that's that explosive, you don't need a whole lot from the bottom of your lineup. But there was some good signs last night. I was glad to see James Altman rip that ball down the right field line in his last at-bat. And then Gavin Lux, squarely put, is showing really nice signs of coming around. And we've seen 2 or 3 times how his speed can really impact the game, too. So the bottom lineup is showing signs.
Well, that's great. As you mentioned, getting on base. I always go back to Moneyball. Of course, I love the movie and, you know, Billy Bean, the whole deal. You always look at Billy Bean. Well, they haven't won a whole lot, but, you know, yeah. It was a great movie. But the whole process of that was the on-base percentage, right? We had a young man here at Stillwater. Actually, he's going to go play football at Oklahoma State. He's built, unlike me and you, he's 6'2", 220 pounds, and can run. But he's hitting about 270 something before. But his on base percentage is over 500. He led us in strikeouts and walks, and he had hit by pitch because he just stand there taking it like a full grown man, you know. But that was so important. So we started hitting him 9-hole again. We turn the lineup over. This guy's getting on base. You know, and he's capable of hitting one 400 feet, you know, if you throw it right down the middle on him. But, you know, that is so important, the on-base percentage. You know, I think we forget about that a lot. That movie brought it out a lot, and that was their biggest thing, was the on-base percentage above everything else. And it, especially if you got the bottom of the order getting on base, however they got to do to get on base. Oh, by the way, here's Mookie Betts. Get you some of that, you know, guys on. So that's a great, great situation. And Lux, we know he's a better offensive player. He's showing, and that's a great sign for the Dodgers. We're getting, like you said, Teoscar and Muncy are who they are, and they're doing exactly what we expect them to do. And you're going to hit home runs, run producers are going to strike out, and they're going to give you that every day you walk out there. So everything's kind of going according to plan. But we do need Lux and Altman to pick it up, and that's a great sign. We know they're both great kids, are putting the time in and working in their craft every day, and I'll be shocked if they don't both come around.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a matter of how patient can you be, and having a 7.5-game lead, you can be as patient as you want. That's really a luxury when you know you're going to win the NL West and probably by a substantial amount, and you can do all sorts of things to play the long-run game, right, to play the big picture. So it's all a matter of just who the Dodgers think their best 9 players are. Get those best 9 players most prepared for the playoffs. And, hey, I will say this. I said this even in the offseason. I think James Altman needs to be in the 9-hole. I've said that many different times. And the reason is, guess who hits after him? Mookie Betts, right? Yeah. So I think James Altman is the one guy in the lineup that needs the protection of the pitcher standing out there going, man, I have to challenge this guy. I have to throw him strikes because if I don't, I've got 3 Hall of Famers coming up after this dude. Yep. So I got to throw a strike to James Altman and just see what happens, right? Whereas if he's in the 7 or 8 hole and he's got like Gavin Lux behind him, no slight to Gavin Lux, but he's not Mookie Betts, right? I think they can be a little bit more, that they can they can throw a few more balls to James Outman, get him to chase the zone a little bit more. So I really think putting James Outman in the nine hole, the way that he's so feel heavy, right? I mean, he likes to feel it and rip it sometimes. There are guys like – now, he likes the analytics too, but it's a combination for him. I think having the protection of Mookie Betts and three Hall of Famers behind him is what he needs more than anybody else. I think Gavin Lux can handle the eight hole better. So I love James Outman in the nine hole.
I just started to say Lux can hit anywhere in those bottom three. I agree with you on that. He can hit 7, 8, or 9. We know he's going to have his capabilities to do that. That's a great point with Outman, though. I mean, again, it's two outs, and there's Outman standing there. It's all well and good, but if he gets on, Mookie's up. But if he gets on, look what's – you're absolutely correct. So that is such an important spot, and that would be great for the Outman sending a lot more fastballs right there. Hey, we got to get this guy out. You know, and that's an envious position to be in. You're right. That would be a great spot for him.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, instead of the game plan being, well, this guy's throw 42% sliders, this guy locates the ball here, the game plan would be, hey, James, you're going to get 4 at-bats tonight, and you're going to see 8 hittable fastballs. Find 3 of them and get base hits on them, right? I mean, it's going to simplify it. Of course, I'm oversimplifying it to a touch, but not really. I mean, that's kind of how it would oversimplify it. It would definitely simplify it down for a guy like James Outman to say, hey, here's what we're hunting tonight. Here's what you're going to get because they can't afford to put you on base. Now go out and hunt it and find it, and then once you find it, hit it.
Same thing we do with our high school hitters. We can all go back and look at the batting averages when it's 0-1 or when you're 0-2, as in addition to when it's 2-0. You know, it's astounding. It's no surprise what the batting average is in the big leagues when you're down 0-1, you know, because all of a sudden now I've got I'm 98 plus, but I've also got a nasty slider, and I can throw a changeup, you know, whatever. You're in trouble. So, you know, if you can get up there, they can get a good pitch to hit and get ahead in the zone or get ahead in the count. That's a great situation to be in.
Yeah, strike one. Just ask Gavin Stone what that did for him last night. 75% in zone with his four-seam fastball. And, again, he threw that equally as much as he did his two-seam that had that right turn to it. That's such a great pitch for him.
Yep.
Okay, Coach, Andy Páez. We've said many different times, and of course everybody out there knows this is baseball. You're a rookie, you come up and you hit like this, you hit like that, okay, and you do great. Then they get a book on you, and then they start executing. And at the same time, it's baseball, so you're not always, even if guys aren't making great pitches, there's going to be times where you get yourself out, right? I mean, there's that old saying that a quarter of the time you're going to get yourself out, and then a quarter of the time the pitcher's going to get you out. It's what you do with that other half is going to determine what type of really season and or career you're going to have. So Andy Páez running cold right now. This was totally predictable. Nothing to worry about. He has the talent and the ability to make the adjustments. But I will say this, and I've warned Dodgers fans, this guy does run hot and cold. I've seen periods of cold time, even all the way down to the AA level. So this is not something that Dodgers fans should be surprised about.
Well, we've seen this historically in baseball and other teams, yeah. Guys, there's two different ways to look at it. Kind of saw with Outman last year leading the league at home runs for a while, then cool, because they start getting the book on them. Here's the great part about the book, though. You know, Outman, okay, yeah, you got the book on me now, but also have a hitting coach. I also got analytics, also got video for me to make myself better also. That's what we'll see with Páez too. Okay, he's going to realize, oh, here's what – now they're trying to get me out with this. Now he can get, you know, get in the cage, get in the tunnel, and start watching himself. And now he can start making adjustments. He's not going to stand pat either. That's the beauty of this thing. Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm killing. They're all, now they got the book coming. They're going to pitch me this way. Well, great. Now what? Now he'll make adjustments, just like Outman did last year. You know, so that's the great part of the game. That's the way it's always been. You know, it's going to slow you down a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, pretty much, I mean, just it's hitting. That's how it goes. I mean, hitting comes and goes up and down. From that aspect, Jason Hayward, he had 3 at-bats last night for Triple Oklahoma City, struck out his first 2 times, popped up. So the at-bats weren't overly pretty. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just telling you, whenever you're in rehab outings, it's just a matter of getting the box, seeing pitches, getting some rhythm, trying to get your timing down. I mean, you probably didn't even know the name of the pitcher, certainly didn't know the scouting report. You know, so it's all a matter of just getting reps for Jason Hayward. So I know that's the big question. Hey, what are you going to do with your roster once he comes back? But it was good to see Jason Hayward get back into action for Triple A Oklahoma City yesterday.
Yeah, it's the same thing we talked about when Buehler was down there. You know, it's, yeah, okay, go ahead and look at the stats, you know, whatever, some kid, it doesn't matter. They're there to get work in.
Yes.
They're major league, they're proven major league commodity. They're there to get their work in and get back. All they're looking for with Hayward is get him healthy. You know, let him, like you said, Kay, see some pitches, and he's seen decent pitches in Triple A. It's not major league pitch, but it ain't very far off. That's why those guys are in Triple A. You know, he's seeing some quality pitches to look at, and he just needs at bats and to stay healthy. And there's no secret on that deal. It's great to see him out there. And I noticed when he popped up, our buddy Donovan Walton caught that. I think.
I think Donnie's
playing with Sacramento. So yeah. I saw your video you posted. And he popped up and said, "Walton, it's good to see our buddy Donnie out there still, you know, plugging away, trying to get to the bigs again."
Yeah, Donnie's an absolute stud. Finished his last year at Oklahoma State in 2017 in the College World Series, led the Oklahoma State Cowboys to the semifinals that year, got beat by Arizona. Still a little bit, at the term that you used the other day, a little bit butthurt about that one, man. Had the catbird seat and got beat twice, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we talk about the first three in the lineup for the Dodgers being Hall of Famers. Mookie Betts last, okay, how about Mookie Betts? He scored 37 runs this year. Talk about a leadoff guy, right? So what does the leadoff guy do? He gets on base, he grinds out pitch counts, he lets the rest of the guys in the team see as many pitches as possible. Well, how about scoring 37 runs? And ultimately, the job of a leadoff hitter is to score runs, right? I mean, that's literally the definition of a leadoff guy. Get on base and score.
Yep.
Scored 37 runs in 44 games. He has hits in 33 games. He had 500 in March. He had 340 in April. He has three multi-hit games in a row, and is 6 for his last 13 with a double, a triple, a home run, an RBI, 4 runs scored. And so he's been a guy who's got on base. He's been a guy that's scored. He's a guy that's hit home runs. He's a guy who's been explosive. And he's a guy that's been consistent. Mookie Betts has been just a Hall of Fame type player so far this season.
Mookie, the things he's able to do, and like I said, he brings it defensively. He could play anywhere on the field, probably. He'd probably catch if they wanted to. He'd probably get pitch if they could, but they'll never do that. But I mean, but getting on base, scoring runs, plus he's a run producer.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much in the game of baseball that Mookie can't do.
And he's done all that with an 8-9 hole that's been, it hasn't been the same guy every day. It hasn't produced a whole lot. So, I mean, it's not like the guys in front of him have been fantastic on a consistent basis as well.
Yep.
Hey, Tia Hernandez, the batting average doesn't look great. That's like the last thing you need to look at for a guy like him. I mean, it's not terrible or anything. I think it's in the 240s now. But how about this? Tia Hernandez, 11 RBIs this month in the 12 games he's played in. So he's averaged almost an RBI a game. That's incredible for Tia Hernandez. He also has 5 home runs and has 6 and has hits in 8 of the games that he's played in this month. So Tia Hernandez, especially this month, has been, if he plays like he has this month, this offense just goes to another dimension, right?
We talked about when the Dodgers got him, Case, how excited we were just because of what we knew he brought to the ball club. And the great thing about T.O., he didn't have to walk in there and be the guy. He didn't have to walk in there and hit 3, 4, 5. You know, he can get down the 7-hole, 6, 7-hole and do his thing. And that's what he's done. He's done exactly what the Dodgers got him to do, you know, and He's been I don't want to say a pleasant surprise. I think that he's done what we thought he could do. We hoped he would do.
Yes.
And what he's done in his career up to this point. So that's been a great pickup for the Dodgers, you know, get another outfielder, you know, a guy who quality major league hitter, you know, batting average, let's face it. I mean, you know, if you're going to look at batting average, you got Muncy. I mean, those guys, they have a job to do. There's been some great players in Major League Baseball that never hit much over 250, 260.
I think it matters for the guys at the top, but for T.O. and Max, I just think their whole job is to drive in runs. That's it, period.
Nope, that's it, because they're probably going to have some traffic when they get on because of the guys you got up top. There's going to be some traffic on the bases when they get there. We need you to be a run producer and do your thing. Absolutely correct. Batting average does not matter for those guys there. And we don't want them under 200 like, you know, Lux and some of those guys were doing for a while. We don't need them. You know, you got to be better than that, but they don't. You're getting exactly what you need to get out of those guys. And T.O.'s been a great pickup. I'm glad he's a Dodger.
Well, Shohei Ohtani took a hanging slider yesterday and just absolutely clobbered. He hits the ball so hard. And then the other night he scored that big run where he just dribbled the ball to second base. I mentioned, hey, just put the ball and play with two strikes, right? And his speed to first base is unbelievable. So he has the speed, then he has the power, he has all that. Guys, ever coach, it's like I mean, in a different way. Of course, Babe Ruth was because he hit all the home runs. I mean, he was hitting twice as many home runs as the next entire team was in the entire major leagues. But with Shohei Ohtani, check this out. He leads the league in OPS, Coach, at 1103. He leads the league in slugging, 677, and he leads the league in hits at 60. He's also second in the Major League Baseball in doubles with 15. He's second in home runs at 12, and he's third in on-base percentage. So he has all these slugging numbers. Then he also has the on-base percentage, and he leads the league in hits, right? So this guy, okay, Shohei Ohtani, it's as if we are getting to watch in 2024 the next creation of the phenom of what Babe Ruth was like back 100 years ago. It's like we're getting to watch the Babe Ruth of just this generation. You know, it just feels like we're getting to go back in time and watch that type of player.
But he's able to do things that are amazing on a baseball field. We haven't seen, you know, from players. You know, you have phenoms come and go and whatever, but he looks, he's got staying power because, he, as you just mentioned, Case, he can do it all. He can roll over one, he can dribble one, and still beat it out when he's struggling to get a hit. And he can hit at 500 feet whenever he gets the right pitch. And as you just start reading off, he's almost leading the league in everything.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. And like I said, the big rascal can run, too. And I love it to see him get on base. And you see the respect he has not only amongst his teammates, but I think of the other team. He's very popular. Seems to be very popular amongst all players.
Oh, yeah.
You see him down there joking around with the guys at first. How could you not like that guy? He bows and grins. Yeah. And, you know, just like, hey, you know, look at me. And everybody's like, this guy's a freak of nature. And he's down there, you know, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? So he seems like an outstanding person. That's what makes you think the staying power is going to be there. I don't give a crap about that other stuff went on. I don't even care. It didn't matter. It wasn't him. Whatever happened, and, you know, move on. And obviously that's something about he's getting affected by the other off-field situation. No, he's not. No, he's doing what he's capable of doing. He's doing what the Dodgers and everybody expects him to do. So, man, it's awesome to see, and I'm glad he's in Dodger blue.
We covered it when that story hit. The very first day it hit, and literally have not even talked about it again here on Dodgers Daily, because it's that type of deal. That's for him to figure out off the field, and all that'll work itself out. And hey, that's none of our business as far as that kind of stuff goes. So we didn't even address it. But yeah, Shohei Ohtani is just simply fantastic. Gavin Lux, we're going to finish with him, Coach. How good has he been lately in terms of showing signs that he's turning into the offensive player we'd hoped he would? Okay, finished April, Gavin Lux did, going 5-for-16. That's .313. He has hits in 9 of his last 12 games. So that's good because he's getting almost a hit a game, right? And he's hitting .292 in those 11 games and has scored 8 runs in his last 13 games. So when at the bottom of the lineup, a guy like that, an 8 or 9 hole, wherever he's at, can score runs in 2/3 of your games, that's really good. So Gavin Lux, again, showing signs, using that speed. He's also hitting the ball a little bit harder. I know Dodgers fans are happy about that. So good signs from Gavin Lux.
Well, and we keep forgetting, we being me, being an idiot, the guy missed the whole season. You know, guy missed a whole season with a severe knee injury. And, you know, you can't expect him just to walk in there. We're, you know, like I said, there's a timetable, whatever they have for a timetable, how long they're going to watch the 190 batting average. But he's too good offensive player to stay there, is what we're hoping, Case. We told him, and what you're reading right there is showing that he's starting to come on. But he's getting more and more bats. We're getting a bigger sample size, you know, as the season goes on. You know, instead of the season going on, him going down, he's getting better. So that's we know he's got that capability. And give the guy a break. You know, he rehabbed a torn ACL and sit out a whole year. And, you know, the fact he's even in a major league lineup, and not just a major league lineup, but the Dodgers major league lineup, says a lot about his makeup. And I think the future is still just very bright for Gavin Lux.
100%. Coach, final thoughts before we got here. We're not going to have our Down on the Farm segment today for the simple fact that we're going to cover that on our live show tonight with Austin Brubaker. We have a lot of exciting action. Dalton Rushing had a good game. Diego Cartaya had a home run and an opposite field single last night. Kendall George, the Dodgers' number one draft pick from last summer, he had a bunt base hit. He had a base hit to left field. And then he also had a hit where he beat out the first baseman. He hit a ground ball to the first baseman and used his 2,000 grade speed to beat the first baseman and pitcher to the bag. Also stole a base. And so there's a lot of exciting action to get to down on the farm that we're going to get to tonight in our live show. So tune into that. That is going to be, I believe, 5 o'clock Pacific. So tune into that tonight, Coach. But final thoughts.
It's, like I said, we're I'm guilty as anybody. The sky falling, we lose 2 out of 3 the Padres, and meanwhile, that's only 2 games we lost the last 10. So the Dodgers keep doing their thing, and you know what you're getting in the top of the order. Like, as you mentioned, Case, you've already gone over the stats of the guys at the bottom. We're getting great production out of those guys, and here you see Lux coming on. We know Altman will come on as well because he's been there, he's done that. So it's starting to look really, really good. We haven't even got to the dog days of summer yet, but the Dodgers are starting to come on. They need to come on, you know.
Yeah, right. It's been great talking to you. And, again, I'm going to enjoy watching what's probably going to be the bullpen game tonight. Who knows? But, hey, great talking to you this morning. Love you, Coach, and we'll see you next time.
Love you too, Case, and go Dodgers.